the Oakdale Christian Centre podcast. Continuing our series at looking at what the creation story tells us about God's character, in this recording we look at God's blessing. The main reading is Ephesians chapter 1.
Last few months now we've been looking at the creation story and finding out the character of God. That's how we start. It's what the theologians call the principle of first mention. You want to find out what something is about, you go back to the first time it's mentioned and you see what God thinks about it, what God wants of it. And we're looking through the characteristics of God, who his character is, and we'll be looking at his majesty and his magnificence, his omnipotence when we look at creation. Last week we looked at his generosity. He said that I will give you all the plants of the animals. And then we said, of course, when the flood came, obviously the flood was a disaster. You say, what was any benefits of the flood? He said, you can eat meat now. He said, all these animals are yours to eat as well. So for you vegetarians, well, that's how you were created. Whereas for meat eaters, we still post-flood. Amen. Ooh, how to eat a steak. Oh, that could be sad, wouldn't it? It'd be sad. Today we're looking at another thing, again, found right in the creation story, what God, again, a character of God, what God longs to do, wants to do, desires to do, what his character is. And it's blessing. And of course, as soon as we mention that word, we have different ideas of blessing. Of course, the trouble is with us, the world's thinking has infiltrated our thinking. And as soon as we mention blessings, we think of health, wealth, ease, going my way, no difficulties, no problems, problem-free. And as we'll see in a moment, that is nothing to do really with the blessing of God. In fact, someone once said he is more interested in our ultimate holiness than our current happiness. You see, Dave, I wanted to come and be encouraged tonight. But you see, when we know the favour of God, it doesn't matter where you are, in what circumstances you are, you'll be the joy and the hope and the peace. Think of Joseph. And when we think about, he was blessed, even in the difficult. The Bible says when he was in Potiphar's place, the Bible says God knew he was under the blessing of God. Potiphar knew that he was under the blessing of God, and he put everything in charge of it because everything was blessed because Joseph was blessed. But he had been sold. He was in a foreign country. He was in servitude. We call him employed, but he was a servant, wouldn't he? Slave. And then he ends up in the prison for nothing. He hadn't done anything. But the Bible says, even there, he was under the blessing of God. So remember, it isn't our location or our circumstance. Favour of God is what he pronounces over us. And of course, we can say that the blessing of God, of course, was the words like this word, multifarious, multi-meaning meanings of it. But bottom line is God's favour. And that's amazing. Of course, you can pronounce blessed, pronounce it, what is speaking well of. Of course, we talk about blessing and cursing, blessing, a parental blessing in the Old Testament, blessing of the other people, show them respect and honor. We can bless the Lord, which means to give him praise and thanks. So lots of different meanings, but when it comes to God blessing, it's his pronouncement, his declaration of his favor. And we'll see in a minute, that's why the Old Testament guys said, Lord, give me the blessing. And we're not going anywhere unless you go with us. And we'll see in a moment, Jacob said, Lord, unless you bless me, I ain't letting you go. Because he understood the favour of God. Let's read right to get our foundation right. Genesis 1. Genesis 1, verse 22, and then 27 and 28.
God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God. He created him, male and female. He created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground.
So there's God's heart. He longs to bless us, and out of that blessing, of course, fruitfulness, multiplication. We bring that in the New Testament. What does he want us to be? Fruitful. Fruit of the Spirit. He wants us to be more like him and to multiply. He wants us to reproduce who we are. Make disciples, he said. Make disciples of who you are. That's why it's so vital, isn't it? We're more like him. So people following us can say, oh, yes, that's follow that. So often they can say, oh, dear, this and that and the other. But there's the fivefold blessing we have in Genesis. That's why God created us. Be fruitful, multiply. What did he say? Subdue, have dominion, and replenish. There's the blessing of God. And of course, in the Old Testament, I suppose that their thinking was natural, temporal. So wealth and prosperity was their thinking. Although Abraham was very wealthy, never built a house, never put roots down. It's quite interesting, isn't it? Never placed, and that's interesting that he never put roots down, never built a house. Remember, he left a house in Ur, a lovely house, well in advance, with fireplaces and all that kind of thing in those days. So he moved, and so we see it just a slight different thinking. But of course, again, we our worldly thinking, and we have taken that and said, well, if you bless, you'll be rich and you'll be wealthy. And let me just say, again, that's not New Testament teaching, although if God can trust you with it, give it me, Lord, because the Bible says, I'll make, so last week, God will make us rich for what? So we can give it away. We can give it away. That's all he gives it. That's what he's given it for. Not for to hoard it, but to give it away. So there's God's heart. Blessing, favor, protecting. Again, Genesis 2 verse 3, he said, on the seventh day, he finished. And he rested, and he said, this is the day, this is the Sabbath, and he blessed it and separated it. And of course, again, I was just talking to Rob the other day, Rob Baldwin, and he wrote a book many years ago. He's rewritten it, he said. But I always remember reading the story in there about a builder going to see him, and his builder was so stressed, and he was in a real mess. And he said, well, what are you doing? He said, well, the business is going fantastic. He said, well, tell me, what are you doing? He said, oh, I'm working 7 days a week. 7 days a week? How long have you been doing that? Oh, about 18 months. He said, there's your problem. He said, you know, you've got to have a day. If you don't have a day off, you work yourself into the ground. Mm-hmm. Why? Because God said, I bless this to have it. You've got to have a day off. You've got to have a day off. And so God blessed it. And then wrote Genesis 5, as he begins to map out the men and the lineage, he said, God blessed man. And then even after the flood, Noah came out, and the Bible says God blessed Noah and his sons. So God is a God of it. And so when we understand the favor of God, the blessing of God, there's nothing greater. Nothing. And thankfully, the Old Testament saints saw that, knew that, and they pursued it. They pursued it. Genesis 32:29.
And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him, and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. Yeah. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there.
Yeah. He understood that the most important thing was God, his presence, his blessing, the favour of God upon his life. Now remember, Jacob had got the birthright and he got father's blessing, which really is an indication that the lineage was coming through him. He knew that. But you know what? He hadn't done it correctly, did he? He did it by thievery, surreptitiously. He was a sneaky. His name was heel supplanter, heel catcher, heel grabber. So he got those and he knew that, but he hadn't got them. He hadn't heard from the Lord. The favour of God. Now remember, he met the Lord on his way, didn't he? None other than the place of God, house of God, Bethel. And he said, Lord, if you bring me back, 10% is yours, and all that. But he needed to hear from God. Because why? Because, and God will do this to us. We've talked about this before. He'll bring us to such a situation where he breaks us. Mm-hmm. Where we only have him. We've got to, see, talk about distractions on Sunday. So many distractions. And God will bring us to that place where he had to separate himself. He separated himself from all his assets, because the Bible said he sent all his flocks and his herds in front of him, and he had to separate himself from his family as well. See, we've got to have one-on-one with God, isn't it? It's me and God at the end of the day. Now, I'll have to give an answer for this, and this, but first and foremost, it's a personal relationship with God. I can't fill in for my family. I wish I could get them saved. No, so that personal one-on-one. Of course, we saw Jesus, the Bible says, solitude, very early in the morning, Mark 1:35, very early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left his home, went to a solitary place and spent time with Father. And so we see Jacob understanding that he was not letting God go. Why? Because he was going to meet his brother. And if he didn't have the favour of God, his brother would have killed him. No problems at all. And he heard the brother was coming, not just on his own, with 400 men. Ooh, that it brings a little bit of sobriety to us, doesn't it? And that's sometimes what God, and things crop up in our lives. Maybe a loss of a loved one, or sudden illness. Why? Because God is trying to get our attention. That is a blessing in disguise sometimes. Why? Because it draws us closer to him. We don't see it as a blessing. Later on we will. Sometimes we have to wait to heaven to see that was a real blessing. But remember, we are children of God. And he said, I will not let you go until you bless me. And of course, it cost him. Of course, it cost him. It cost him a limp. But you know, that limp was a reminder. What was the reminder? That God had changed his name and he changed his nature. So he wouldn't forget. Because you know what? We're prone to forget, aren't we? He would have gone down the road a few years later, or even a few months later, and he would have said, is my name Jacob? Still my name Jacob? Or is my name Israel? Prince with God, ruler with God, you know? And he could have thought, I'm not sure. Did I hear right? The devil would come and whisper in his ear. No, that was, you've blown it again. You can't be Israel anymore. But every time he limped, he would remember the favour of God, the blessing of God. So we see God, and right through the order, and then we come to this great story again. We've looked at this before, 1 Chronicles 4:9-10. And if you are like me, sometimes you get to Chronicles, you think, oh, okay, these names, bang, bang, bang. And you flick through them quickly, you'll miss something.
And Jabez was more honourable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested.
Bless the Lord. 5 requests. What was the first one? You bless me. Remember his background? Obviously, whether his mum didn't want him, whether his mum didn't like him, his name was Pain. Now, we've called our kids a Pain many times, didn't it? But not perpetually, not named them pain. His name was grief bringer, sorrow bringer, someone who brought pain, offensive. Of course, it does mean physical and mental discomfort, but every time his name was called in school, yeah, ticking the register, if they did it then, but this day, pain, I'm here. You know what, that crippled somebody, could cripple them emotionally for the rest of their life with all that kind of thinking. But the Bible said he was more honourable. He knew where to go. He knew where to go to get the touch of God. And the first thing he said, Lord, bless me. I know what you've done with Jacob. I know what you did with Jacob. Now I know his name. What was his name? Supplanter, deceiver. And you changed him. What? And how did you change him? The blessing of God, the favour of God, the pronouncements of God. And he said, look, I need that, Lord. You know what they call me. You know what my mother thought of me. You know where I've been. Oh, that you bless me. Oh, bless the Lord. Enlarge my coast. Hallelujah. Your hand to be upon me. I suppose it's an outworking of the blessing of God, isn't it? You'll keep me from evil. And of course, the last one that some people don't miss, they miss. It will not cause me. My name will not define me. My past will not define me. Lord, what you think will define me. What does the Lord think of us? That's all that really counts, isn't it? What does the Lord, but open your ear, because some people may say, oh, Dave, you're fantastic. And the Lord's whispering this year, you know, that's fantastic, Dave. Because I know exactly. See, depending on who you listen to, we don't mind listening to people who say, oh, Dave, you're fantastic. Or some people say, Dave, you're absolutely a waste of time. Again, what does the Lord think? The blessing of God. Now, why was that so important? Well, I tell you why. Because when Solomon was writing his Proverbs, he wrote this verse. And he's talking about Jabez, because he uses exactly the same words. Proverbs 10:22.
The blessing of the Lord brings wealth without painful toil for it.
The blessing of God makes rich and adds no sorrow to it. He's talking about Jabez, same word, sorrow. That's what he was called. And that's what it, he said, that when the blessing of God comes, because he was looking back at Jabez, remember? He's looking back in time and seeing what God did with Jabez. And he's saying, Lord, you know, the blessing of God, just the word, again, rich, it means to be enlarged, broaden, make what we should be. And it adds no sorrow. It continues that augmenting of sorrow and difficulty and grief and vexation doesn't come with it. Now, of course, now be careful now when pain and grief and vexation do come to us, but not from within, in a sense, from without. Now, remember, his sorrow, his grief, his vexation was from within, wasn't it? What people have spoken over him, what he'd grown up with. That's the Lord. God said, I won't give you that. Because remember, we are sons and daughters of the living God. And doesn't matter what anyone says, that's who we are if we received him. Doesn't matter what anyone says. And so, now vexation and pain and grief will come from without, of course. We live in a world with that. We've all received that, but not from within. And so we see Solomon looking back and understanding the blessing of God, favour of God. Bless the Lord. So important was it that Moses... the Lord said to Moses, now tell Aaron, this is very important. This is what he must say over the people. The Aaronic blessing. Number 6.
The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. Amen.
Bless the Lord. That was the blessing he spoke over the people. And he said, when you bless them, put my name on them. Because when the name of the Lord is there, of course, it is his reputation, his honour, his mark, his authority. Bless the Lord. His passion for his people, isn't it? Passion for his people. Put my name on them. That's the blessing of God. He speaks over us. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Well, knowing that, the psalmist went out of his way to talk about the blessing of God and talk about we must pursue it. It's our position. We'll read that in a minute. Our position is we are blessed. But it has to be a pursuit because we understand what's important, most important. Psalm 24. 1 to 6.
The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who lives in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend the mountains of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in the idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessings from the Lord and vindication from God their Saviour. Such is the generations of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob.
Lots of things going on there, isn't it? Ultimately, seeking him. Who may ascend? We're going up. Well, there's a process. There's things in our lives that, in a sense, can hinder the blessing. And he names a few, doesn't he? Clean hands, pure heart, not lift up idols, not swear by that which is false. They will receive a blessing. And they are the ones, two words for seek. We have just one word there. One is to frequent, to tread or to follow. And the next one is to strive after, to really press in. You're going from a track to a mountain. What a difference, isn't it? You can walk along on the flat pretty good. Don't get out of breath too much. What did I do? I had to run up hill the other day. I thought, I would have puffed you. Not as fit as I thought I was. Uphill. Well, it's a bit more difficult. And we have a bit more persistence, a bit more discipline. But remember, as we come to the Matthew 5 in a minute, the Bible says they went up the hill. There was purpose. There was intention. Because he wanted those who to hear the word of the Lord, who really wanted to hear the word of the Lord. Of course, the blessing of God comes. Abraham, we know, the Bible called him blessed. Or Genesis 12, when Melchizedek blessed him. Genesis 22, blessing of God came upon him. And we forget the wonderful blessings of God. I love that story. Young little boy goes into a shop, the old shops, with his mum. And mum's bought quite a bit. And the shopkeeper says, son, he said, remember the jars of sweets? Your youngsters will never remember those. You used to buy a quarter. Can you remember that, Nick?
No,
you're not that old,
time.
Yeah?
No.
Get out, Nick. You're not that young. Get out of it. And I remember in Troy, they had sacks of sweets, didn't they? All across there. Used to buy the sweets. And he said, you are, son, put your hand in there and have a handful of sweets. And he became, what she thought was shy. He said, no. So he said, you are. Then he put his hand in and give it to the little boy, and he had to put his two hands out, and off they went. And his mum said, "Cool, you're a bit shy then, weren't you? Didn't be, you know, usually after the sweets." He said, "Yeah," he said, "but he got bigger hands than me." And remember, God has got bigger hands than you. When we try to snatch, and there's an appropriation, we receive everything, but it's the Lord, you've got bigger hands. Pass it over. And sometimes we do forget. It was an Indian, and he is land struck oil. And, of course, absolutely amazingly wealthy. He took his money, put it in the bank. And so often he would go back to the bank, and he'd go to the bank manager. And this is what he would say. He said, everything's terrible. He said, grass is all gone, sheep are all sick, water holes are all dry, he said. And the banker said, come down, come to the vault. And he said, look all that there. He said, that's all yours. It's all yours. That's all your money. Save. Whenever you want it, it's yours. Take any money. It's all yours. And then he put the bags, and he'd look at them, count them, whatever he would do, put them back. Then he would come up and say, grass all green, sheep all well, water holes all full. Why? Because perspective. Remembered what he had in the bank. Remember who our Father is. Remember who God is. Remember that he wants to bless us. So whatever we need, remember, forget, watch our worldly thinking, our flesh thinking, oh Lord, yes, I should be having that. No. Lord, give me what I need for this particular work. If you're going to bless me abundantly, it's for a purpose. It's to share it away. It's to give to into situation, give into different ministries. That's what God longs to do. And the older we get, the more we realize whatever you can't take it with you, can you? Believe me. Now, they're waiting behind you, of course, counting it up. thinking, oh, how much are you going to leave me? How much there? Well, I'm going to leave a mess in my study. That's what I'm going to leave, I told her. All my study, you have like, all that in there is yours. You have a go at that. But God is good. Pursuing. Again, then, positioning ourselves for the blessing, isn't it? Remember, Jacob positioned himself. How about these verses? We should remember these. Some of us, if you're old enough, you used to learn Psalms in school. We used to learn them in Sunday school. Psalm 1:1-3.
Blessed is the man who walketh in the counsel of the ungodly, or standeth in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful. For his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. He will bring forth fruit in his season, his leaf will not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
See, again, our way, our will, our position, again, determines the blessing of God. He says, blessed is the man who walk, stand, sit, care for where you do all those things, and who you're listening to, and who you're fellowshipping with. Again, not to separate us from our world. Remember that we understand we've got to be in the world to share the gospel. He told the believers, now be careful who you bother with when you talk about believers who said they were believers and really weren't, and were living in a real mess. The Corinthians, he said, speak into their lives, but don't be careful. His delight in what? His delight is in the words, the way, and the will of God, and he dwells in them. And fruitfulness, again, what does he say? He'll bear fruit. See, God wants us to be fruitful and multiply. And that's working out of the blessing of God. Psalm 67.
May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face shine on us, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all the nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest, God. Our God blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him.
See, blessing God is for a purpose. What is it? So people can see the greatness of God. People will fear God, it says that, isn't it? People will see the difference, the change, the abundance, in a sense, of character. Remember, God's interested in character, not things. Again, the worldly, fleshly mind is on things, and we have, of course, ministries that say, I've got this, that, and the other, and they've missed the point. And the blessing of God was to bring fruitfulness and character. So people can say, oh, what's the difference there? Bible says, give me the reason for the hope that's within you. Oh, I said, and then he says, do it with gentleness and meekness, but they will recognize. How will they recognize? Because the blessing of God is upon us that makes, that changes, that absolutely dramatically changes. That's why, again, he's talking about Israel, and he wanted the blessing of God. He said, I've taken you, Israel, because you were any different. No, he said, you're no different. He said, you're just as stubborn as another nation, but I've chosen you. I picked you out, so I can show what I can do with a nation that is following the Lord, is listening to the Lord. And he wants to do that with the church. What did we say about the wisdom of God? He wants to take us and declare the manifold wisdom of God in our lives, even to the heavenly realms, so they can come and attack and whisper and say, and God says, look what I've done. Look at that Ken. What a rotter he was. But look at what I've done with him. Look at what I've done with him. The wisdom of God that declares. And that's what God... Remember, the blessing of God is not for us per se, is it? It's for us to flow and give away. And it to flow through us. What do we say? Blessed to be a blessing. And that's what God longs for. Well, thankfully, it starts in this one place. David understood it. Even though, well, I suppose he couldn't, son, because God had pronounced this over him. But we know it with absolute certainty. Psalm 32, 1 and 2.
Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile.
Blessed. Now that's a declaration. Sins forgiven, sins covered, iniquity gone, you are blessed. So if we've come to the Lord and we've said, Lord, forgive me my sin, I confess my sin, he said, yes, boom, faithful and just to forgive us. And the Bible says you are blessed. Of course you are. You know your sin. You know what your sin could do. You know what your sin will eventually take you. We're blessed. That's the pronouncement of God. That's where, of course, it starts. God's heart is to pronounce the favor of God over us. That changes everything. Changes everything. And of course, when Jesus started his ministry, of course, his first preach was what? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. But what was his first teach? What was his first teach? Matthew 5. I would read the first 11 verses, the 9 Beatitudes. 5:1-11.
And when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me.
Blessing. Pronouncement. And of course, some have interpreted that word happy. Well, it can mean that, but we've got to be careful with happiness in ways, as Nick said on Sunday. We love the word joy far more, because joy is irrespective of circumstances, how we feel. Of course, happy, we're into that sort of realm of how I feel. And of course, some days, we don't feel so happy, do we? We aches and pains, and we mature, we've done something, extended ourselves, and we're not too happy. But the blessing, the pronouncement of God, amazing. And of course, there's a steady growth there, isn't it? Blessing and a foundation of rising up. And that's the first teaching of Jesus. He wants to bless. He wants to pronounce his favor over us. And out of that, of course, it's lots of things going on in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. They have 5 sermons, they tell us, because the Torah, five books of the Torah. But it's a bit like a sandwich. There's the blessing of God that works its way out in our behavior, because then he talks about how we to behave, isn't it? You know, you said, looking at a woman, or your words, or you know, all those things, the outworking, and then the explanation for the blessing and of the blessing. But if you read of Matthew 5 and you're being blessed, again, what is that for? For a vain project that we say we are blessed? No. Verse 44 says, we're blessed to bless. But I tell you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, bless those who curse you. Oh, how can we do that? Again, we're talking about missing the grace of God. We can't, if we miss the grace of God, we will not be at peace, we will be bitter, and we will not be pure. But when we understand the grace of God, we release people. Why? Because God released us. And we will keep pure because we know God has forgiven us. The same thing, we're blessing. Because God has blessed us, we can bless those as well. Hallelujah. Who've said things against us, who've done things against us. And as we said before, David Pawson, but I remember reading a letter that Whitfield would write when they would write and abuse him and say nasty things about him. And he would write back to him and say, thank you for your letter. He said, you may be true, he said, but I know lots more things worse than you've identified about me, he said. Thank you very much. And very true, isn't it? So whatever anyone says about us is not as bad as it really is. If we're to be totally honest. God's blessing, that's what he started with. And what's his last words? Remember we talked about our first words and last words, very important. God is trying to tell us something. Luke 24:50, just as he's ascending.
And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen.
Yeah. And he blessed them before he went. He said, there's the blessing. Now, what for? So you can sit here in Jerusalem and bask in the blessing? Oh, no, no, no. There was a great work to be done. That blessing was to be passed on and given away and multiplied. 1 Peter 3:8-12.
I leave all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil, or revealing, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Or he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil.
Blessed, because we are blessed. That's our eventuality, isn't it? That's where we go in. That's our destiny. Blessing. Heaven. Hallelujah. No greater blessing than that. And when I said this before, my nan used to whistle and sing. She was quite deaf, but she used to whistle and sing, count your blessings. And I said to Jackie's mother the other day, she was moaning and groaning, but I said, look, count your blessings. Yeah. Easy for me to say, good. But still, it's a good song. Count your blessings, isn't it? And we so often forget that. Just after World War II, there was back in America, the church was doing a building fund, and a couple got up and said, look, we'd like to give $200, quite a lot of money in those days. Our son died in the war, and we would like to do that as an honour, you know, to remember him. He was a saved young lad. And another couple got up and said, we were going to give 200, but we're going to give 500 because our son came back. See, it's how we see things, isn't it? See the blessings of God all around us. Bringing these threads together, we see that a blessing is a statement of goodwill and joy that is said about another, as well as the condition that fulfills those good works. God's original design in creation was for his creatures, including mankind, for peace, fulfillment, prosperity, but the design was ruined because sin entered the world, of course. Statements of blessing are God's heart, God's will, wish to restore his favour on others, or a declaration of his inherent goodness. All obviously, his ultimate blessing that God has given us is new life, forgiveness by faith in Jesus Christ. The material blessings we enjoy today, day to day, are temporary, but amazing. But the spiritual blessings available to us in Christ encompass time and eternity. Psalm 146, verse 5 says, blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord. And thankfully, he uses the God of Jacob there and not the God of Israel. Why? Because he can be the God of the deceiver, the God of the heel grabber, the supplanter. Hallelujah. He is still the one who blesses and puts his favour on us. And that's why we, again, should give our lives to him. And so often we forget that, and we still want our own way. God help us. It's not about me anymore. It's not about me. When people say, I'm, oh, Lord. And when I say that, bring me up on it. There was give a last story. Big cathedral in Germany, Freiburg. Big organ called the Thunder. And of course, if you know anything about church musicians and those musicians, only the organist can play the organ. And a particular man turned up one day, and he went up into the organ, and the organist was playing, and he said, I'd love to have a play of this organ, he said. Oh, no chance, he said. Only one person plays it. Me. I'm the organist. I'm employed. He said, oh, go on. He said, go on. He said, can you play? I said, yes, I can play a bit. He said, play a bit. And he let him play. And the organist was taken aback. He said, I've never heard it played like that. Ever. What amazing. He said, thank you, thank you. That he could sing and do that. He said, what's your name? Mendelssohn. Great composer. And he said, oh, how silly am I? If I had dug my heels in, that Mendelssohn would not have played this organ. And it's amazing, we dig our heels in sometimes when the God of heaven would take all of my life and play harmony and things out of my life that I would never, ever have thought if we will get. Why? Because the God is God who blesses. Hallelujah.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode. To find out more about our church, including our service times, visit www.oakdalechristiancentre.org.